Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. We're glad you've chosen to join us for double coverage because of some hectic scheduling and the fact that State has only one game this week, which was going to make it single coverage. We're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated program. Ole Miss does have a big game. The Rebels will try to put quality games back-to-back. A big game last week against Texas A&M, a 23-3 win, but they haven't beaten quality opponents back-to-back this season. They'll try to do that Saturday at Auburn. Kickoff is 11 a.m. And I did want to share an interview with you that I had earlier in the week with Auburn beat writer Jay Tate. He covers Auburn for the Rivals Network. Here's that interview now.
I'm joined now by Jay Tate. He is the publisher for the Auburn Rivals site. Jay, how are you, man?
Hey, now. What's going on, Parrish?
Well, not a lot. Just another week on the beat, another day on the beat, talking a little Ole Miss and Auburn football. Let's get right into it, Jay. A lot was told to us, and I say media, fans, everybody, about how good this Auburn team was going to be. In hindsight, it appears that maybe Jeremy Johnson at quarterback was oversold in July and August. Why did things not work out right for Jeremy Johnson?
Well, Jeremy didn't look like the same guy at all when he was playing this season. Now, the first half of the Louisville game, I thought he was pretty strong. But after that, he just fell away. Now, I've been covering Jeremy since he was in middle school just because I live in Montgomery and he's from Montgomery. And he has been so good for so long. And then all of a sudden, he just lost himself and he started getting intercepted all the time and making terrible decisions in the passing game. I mean, just the worst I've ever seen. Throwing in a triple coverage. It's as if he never was able to see an underneath zone anymore. And he got picked off, I want to say, six or seven times. And they just couldn't have it anymore. Now, he went to LSU, and I've never seen a quarterback in the situation that he was in there. I mean, he just was helpless and hopeless. And Auburn got trashed by a better team, no doubt about it. But at that point, they had to make a change. They went to a guy named Sean White, who's been playing there ever since. And you know, he's a redshirt freshman, a small guy, but he's played better than I expected, and I thought his performance the other day at Arkansas was actually very, very good. And Auburn, at this point, I don't think quarterback's necessarily a big problem for them. They've got plenty, and quarterback's been okay.
Now, how are they using Johnson right now? I've seen a few parts and pieces of some games. It looks like maybe he comes in as a wildcat or special situation. So what's his story now?
He's kind of a novelty. I mean, They just kind of work him in to keep him interested and involved. But really, in the Wildcat, he's like a wideout, even though he's not a wideout. Basically, what's going to happen is eventually he's going to run the speed sweep. They're going to give him the ball, and he's going to throw it. But I don't know if it's going to be against Ole Miss or Alabama or some, you know, third-rate bowl game or whatever. But I think that's the plan. They have an actual Wildcat quarterback. He's a tailback who's very fast. So Jeremy's just kind of window dressing.
Now, Sean White, obviously he was not a candidate at the beginning of the season. So when they turned to him, I wondered, how prepared is he? Did he miss a lot of reps because they were committed to Jeremy back in camp? What's his story there?
Yeah, I think he was the second team guy all along, so he got all those two snaps. And I think they worked him in at the one a little bit because they were so sure that Jeremy was the guy. And he's been in the program, this is his third year, so they didn't have to give every single first team rep to Jeremy. When Sean was promoted to the starting lineup, you know, I was skeptical about how well he'd be able to adapt, how much he knew. And this is his second year with the team. He was on a scout team last year, so I think that probably counts for half a year. I just didn't think they'd be able to run everything, but I feel like at this point they are running almost everything. And the thing with him out of high school, he was a four-star guy. He was the MVP of the Elite 11 camp up in Beaverton, Oregon. So he has some credentials, and he was a good player down in South Florida. He's just hard for me, you know, and I run a recruiting website. It was hard for us to get a really good feel on his value as a recruit because he had that excellent performance at Nike. He was in the Under Armour All-American game. So, I mean, he has some background, but he never really considered anybody else when Auburn made the offer. You know, he was unoffered at that point, or he was uncommitted when all this was happening, when he was kind of blowing up as a prospect. Auburn came in and recruited him, got a commitment from him, and he just shut it down. And in this era, you don't see that very often, where guys just absolutely shut it down. But Sean did. He turned his phone off, and that was it. So I didn't know what to expect when he got out here. I knew he had a good arm. He has an accurate arm. I always thought it wasn't that strong was the thing. So his passes were kind of loopy, but he always got them there. And I watch him now, and he actually has some decent arm strength, and his accuracy has been awesome. You know, in the Arkansas game, he had, I think, officially 8 drops in that game, and 6 of them are legit. I mean, hit guys in the hands and just fell on the floor. So he would have had an epic day, at least in an Auburn context, in Arkansas had he gotten some help from his receiver. So he's pretty good, man. I mean, he doesn't look like much, but he's got it where it counts.
Well, so let's say that he has 2 drops instead of 8. What's his day? What was he at Arkansas?
Probably throws for 350 yards at that point. I mean, I don't have the numbers right in front of me.
Yeah.
He was outstanding. I mean, I'm just watching the game. I mean, every pass was just going where it was supposed to go. He was hitting some small windows. He was just doing everything you'd want to see from a quarterback. So, again, you think about where Jeremy was. Jeremy was absolutely in the – he was the worst. And now they've gotten a guy in there who's actually pretty good, and he's helping them. I got it up in front of me now. Sean White was 19 of 32 for 254. So he would have been something in the neighborhood of 25 of 32 for probably 330. He still doesn't have a touchdown to his credit at any point, but – it's kind of misleading. I mean, they just end up getting scores when they're close to the end zone by running the ball. They're fundamentally a running football team, so they give it to Peyton Barber, who's their ace tailback, and he just kind of grinds it in. But
yeah, 37 carries for him at Arkansas, man. That's like 2 games in 1 in a lot of places. Is he used to getting the ball that much? Do they use him that much most of the time?
That's a record for him, but it's close. I mean, he generally gets 30. Again, a very Peyton Barber day, 37 carries, 120 yards. So that's 3.2 yards per carry. Not really a reflection on him, that yards per carry average, but the blocking sometimes is just not there. And Arkansas has got a good defensive front, I think. They don't play around very much. They just say, hey, come at us, and if you want to move us, move us. And that's not really Auburn's game. They're not particularly strong up front. I think they pull pretty well, so they're better when they're in the perimeter game. But, yeah, that's pretty Peyton Barber performance right there. And I like him. I mean, Peyton is a very tough runner. He does not care if he doesn't have blocking. He'll just lower his head and try to knock somebody backward. He's actually pretty good at it, but again, that's what Peyton does. Yeah.
So do they protect that offensive line? Do they protect Sean White very well? And specifically Austin Golson, what kind of year is he had?
Austin has not been great. You know, they switched him from tackle. I think he played tackle at Ole Miss, and he's playing center now. And that transition has not been perfect or ideal. He had some real problems early in the year getting pushed back. And I think he was just kind of focusing on some of the other things. I mean, getting the calls right up front, actually getting the snap to the quarterback, and he wasn't quite putting enough attention on the blocking part of it. I think he's been better these last 2 or 3 games. In fact, I thought the Arkansas game was his best game. But in general, the offensive line has been okay. I thought they were poor early in the year, and they're basically satisfactory at this point. I thought early in the game at Arkansas, it was a game where Auburn was absolutely atrocious, among the worst quarters of football I've ever seen from a Gus Malzahn team. In the first quarter at Arkansas, they were terrible. And then as the game wore on, they got better. And I think the offensive line followed that same script. I mean, I think they got pretty good as the game got into the second half and into overtimes. They were playing better.
Well, tell me why these receivers have struggled like they have. I know the Duke Johnson story. I know he's no longer with the team, and it doesn't sound like he was being targeted just a whole lot when he did play this year. I saw these guys drop some passes against Arkansas, and I also saw Ricardo Lewis, I think, stretch out and make a big catch in overtime that helped get Auburn down there to force overtime. You know, why have these guys been inconsistent?
Well, I don't think you've got a number one is the problem. I mean, Duke Williams was the number one, and he also was a cancer, and they finally had to get rid of him here it's been probably 3 weeks now, after another off-campus altercation. It was something he kind of gets himself into all the time, and he was a distraction for this team. I absolutely believe he's part of the reason they had so much trouble early in the year. He's just a disruptive guy and was kind of getting people angry at each other and creating dissent within the team. He's gone now, and I feel like there's a much better flavor to the team. I think they're all getting along a lot better. As far as receivers go, again, when Duke leaves, you don't have a number one. To me, Ricardo Lewis is probably a number two. He finishes the Arkansas game with 6 catches for 79 yards, and the catch that you described earlier, which was to get them in field goal range for overtime, was an outstanding catch. And he had a couple of those really, really good catches, but he also had some horrendous drops. And I think that's kind of Ricardo Lewis's thing. He's quick. He's strong, but his actual receiving, his mechanical, receiving is bad. It's not very good. I shouldn't say bad. So you got him, and then after that, it's just a bunch of dudes that are like number threes, I think. I mean, Melvin Ray's like 25, 26 years old, good blocker. Jason Smith's probably the most interesting. You probably have some listeners over there who are familiar with him. He was the quarterback at Mississippi Gulf Coast last year. They moved him to wideout because they just feel like it works better for him there. And he's probably better than you would see statistically. He's probably caught six passes this year. But he's probably their next best receiver. They just don't have a lot of guys, Parrish, that are good at receiver. They need to recruit better out there. They've missed on a few guys. And, again, Duke Williams left.
Well, I thought, Jay, that when Auburn had all these problems with Jeremy Johnson earlier in the year, I thought this team is going to figure it out. They're going to get better. They'll improve, and they'll be a different football team and a better football team by the time Ole Miss visits there. It sounds like that might be right to a degree, but maybe not as much as some Auburn fans had hoped. How do you assess this team right now?
Yeah, they're getting better. I think they're getting a little bit better than average. I mean, what I mean is, you know, every coach says they're getting better, but the key is you've got to get better at a rate that's higher than your opponents. And I feel like Auburn, at least based on the opponents they've played already and watching them play after they play Auburn, Auburn's getting a little bit better, more so than the other teams. So they're making some improvement. They're doing some of the things you would expect a Gus Malzahn team to do, in that they're getting better on a fundamental basis. I don't know if they're up to these challenges that are coming up. You know, going into the Arkansas game, I thought they would probably lose that game, and it would just kind of set the tone for a trouble down the road. I mean, you think about Ole Miss, that's a tall order. They still got to play A&M at A&M. They've got Georgia. They've got Alabama. I mean, there's some tall, tall tasks on the schedule ahead, and I just didn't think they were going to be able to handle that. Well, the way they went to Arkansas, picked themselves up from a truly atrocious first quarter and kept it going, to me showed a lot of resilience that I hadn't seen from the team at that point. So as we go into this Ole Miss game, I definitely think Ole Miss is the better team in general. But Auburn is playing a lot harder than it was earlier. And I think with Duke Williams gone and Sean White playing the way that he has, it's energized the offense. I know the numbers weren't necessarily there at Arkansas, but I don't think that was a great matchup for Auburn anyway. It's the defense is the thing, and they just don't have enough guys, enough good guys up front to repel good running games. I don't know as though Ole Miss has that, and that's the thing that makes this game kind of intriguing.
Well, Ole Miss has not had it, and Texas A&M certainly is not a stout running defense. So I didn't think Ole Miss would do what they did on the ground, what they did against Texas A&M, 230 yards. Mm-hmm. But clearly the return of Laramie Tunsil did benefit the Rebels there. I was going to ask you about Auburn defensively. Will Muschamp's there. How are they different?
It is so frustrating for Will, you know, because he has run so many good defenses, and this is definitely not one of them. He's got a couple good defensive tackles. He's got one really good one in Montrevious Adams. He's got one okay one in Don Russell. But Don's a redshirt freshman, and I think anyone, you know, in the SEC knows you don't want to rely on a redshirt freshman along the line. You just don't. You want more experienced guys up there. So you prefer in a perfect world, you would have him as a rotating guy. Instead, they're having to use him all the time, playing him 65 to 70 snaps a game, and he's been okay. The problem is behind those two guys, they got basically nothing to tackle. Now at end, Carl Lawson's apparently going to be back for this game, but he's been out of football for like 6 weeks. I mean, he was on crutches and doing nothing. So whatever his role is going to be at Ole Miss, it would be a lot less than if he was healthy. I'll tell you that for sure. That's assuming that his hip is okay. Again, he got knocked out of the Louisville game, the very first game, early in the game, and he had some kind of a mysterious hip ailment, and everybody was worried that he might not play football again. But he's going to be back for this game. At least that's the way it looks right now. I think he'll be very limited. Probably we'll see him on third downs, you know, passing situations, et cetera, et cetera. But other than that, at end, they're just not very good there either. So talent-wise, just don't see it along the defensive front, and the statistics certainly show that. I know Auburn is 100th against the run right now, which is just not the way Muschamp rolls at all. They're bad at linebacker, despite being very experienced. Those guys just don't get off blocks. And part of the problem is that the defensive line doesn't really take up double teams very well, but the linebackers don't get off blocks, and they just don't. They don't gap control very well. I think Auburn's okay in the back. They've got some good corners. I like those guys. Safeties are solid. So they're okay back there. I guess that would be their strength, although I would consider it about SEC average. But up front, linebackers and tackles and ends, they're just not very good. And it's frustrating to Will. He keeps trying to come up with ways to make something out of nothing, but he just doesn't have it right now.
Hey, Jay, one more question, man. You mentioned that Auburn is playing harder. What do you think an emotional 4 overtime loss does to the mental makeup of this team going into the Ole Miss game? And how about the physical makeup? Where are they with injuries and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got to believe that a 4 overtime loss at Arkansas like that, a game that they felt like they had climbed back into, is just going to be an absolute killer. I think the team is more resilient than I thought, but I don't know how well they're going to be able to handle that particular challenge. And then you've got Ole Miss coming. I mean, if they had some, you know, Vanderbilt team coming or Kentucky, somebody like that, where you knew you had a really good shot, it might be a little bit different. But Ole Miss, I think everybody knows it's going to be a really tough climb. And I just wonder. I think physically they're okay. Nobody's really out at this point that it would seriously concern me as an Auburn person. And the fact that Carl Lawson is coming back, that at least takes some snaps away from a worse player. So that's a step forward. Injury-wise, they're fine. They're not too banged up at this point. So it's really just about how good they are and if they can get over this Arkansas game. I'm skeptical, but we'll see.
That was Jay Tate covering Auburn for the Rivals Network. You have been listening to Double Coverage. Thanks for joining us today. Come back next week. Logan Lowry and I will both be here as we continue our journey through the season with Ole Miss and Mississippi State here on Double Coverage.